Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us online and do that anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will.
I want to get into this story that you have, Captain, about the hotels in Los Angeles. Apparently there's some sort of proposal in front of the city council there to, or maybe it's the county, I'm not sure. I've not seen the story. But to mandate that hotels rent extra rooms out to homeless people.
A controversial measure.
Indeed. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, right now. I thought you were teasing the story.
Okay. Oh, we teased it already.
All right. From the Los Angeles time, L.A. voters to decide whether hotels must rent vacant rooms to unhoused Angelenos. A controversial measure that would require hotels in Los Angeles to provide vacant rooms to homeless people will go before voters in 2024, the city council decided Friday. City council, apparently.
And maybe they get to this, but requires them to rent to them at a certain rate?
So a lot of this
is like, is the city going to pay for these extra rooms here? Or are you just saying in order to have a hotel, here's what you have to do?
A lot of this isn't spelled out clearly as to how it all is supposed to work.
Oh, we got to pass the bill before we find out what's in it. Gotcha.
But we'll find out if we get to it. If not, I'll ad lib it for you. Okay. The council rejected an option that would have skipped the public vote and enacted the ordinance directly.
Huh.
Surprise!
Instead, voting 12-0 to send the measure to the ballot. The initiative is backed by the union Unite Here Local 11, which had already gathered enough signatures to place it on the ballot. The vote came after a lengthy animated public comment session, with the majority of speakers opposing direct approval of the measure. Gee, wonder why.
Well, it allows the politicians to blame the people if this goes through, right? Oh, well, we didn't do it. Yeah. It's the will of the people.
Under the proposal, hotels would be required to regularly report the number of vacant rooms they have to the city's housing department. A program run through the department would then make referrals and pay, quote, fair market rate, unquote, for the lodging using prepaid vouchers. Hotels would be prohibited from discriminating against homeless Angelenos for their participation in this program or the fact or perception that they are unhoused. The proposal comes as city officials are gradually closing one of the signature programs set up to address the homelessness during the COVID-19 pandemic, Project Room Key, which turned multi-story hotels into makeshift shelters. And we covered that on Free Talk Live when it was going on during the COVID thing, where they were like, oh, and they took over some hotels that were, you know, maybe they were teetering on business or whatever, and they didn't have anywhere to put the homeless, so they're just like, whoa, we'll put them over here. So that program is coming to an end.
And trash the place, most likely.
So that particular program is coming to an end. This program is going to replace that program so that nobody looks like they're kicking the homeless out on the streets.
Well, and now it sounds like every hotel will be forced to participate.
Yeah.
Previously, it was, I don't know, was it mandatory on every hotel, or was it just hotels that were desperate for cash since they weren't allowed to even take any customers normally?
I don't remember. They weren't forced to, but like it was almost as if they had no choice, right, because of the fact that they weren't allowed to.
They had no other revenue.
Yeah.
So the thing that strikes me about this is this might actually be a good idea, and we will never know. Because like if there was a charity that was, you know, to help house the homeless,
right,
and their method of doing so was to say, hey, you've got all these rooms that aren't making you any money, we can pay for those in order to house these homeless Angelenos, that might actually be a good solution.
Not if they trash the place.
We will never know because this is being mandated instead of remaining optional.
I get what you're saying. The reason why a lot of hotels wouldn't want to participate in this is because these people are generally not known for taking good care of things.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's true about all homeless people. I'm sure there's some homeless people that were real good at cleaning their house when they had one, and they got thrown out on the street because of bad circumstances, lost job or whatever. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the ones that are on the streets, and they don't give an F. They're drunk all the time. They're high on crack. They're high on heroin. And they're going to destroy those hotel rooms. It's going to be awful.
And if this was a voluntary program put on by a charity instead of being forced by the government, then we could find out with the market, okay, how much of a mess are they creating?
Mm-hmm.
Are they making so much of a mess that what you end up having to pay either in damages or in hiring a maid service for a longer period of time makes it not actually worth having those empty rooms filled? In a market, we could discover that using the price mechanism.
Yeah, so the idea of filling vacant rooms on a voluntary basis at some sort of a discount or paid for by charity reminds me of when, like, Uber first came to be, right? They were like, oh, there's an excess of empty seats in vehicles. How do we leverage that and make that into a business, right? That benefits everybody, right? And it was cheap, and, you know, it almost put taxis completely out of business in some places until the government stepped in. So I understand what you're saying, and I was a little taken back. You're like, this might be a good idea. And I'm like, what? And then, oh, if it were voluntary, right? Yeah, that is the caveat.
We will never know if this was a good idea or a terrible idea because we're going to keep doing it or not doing it regardless of the effect.
Yeah. The proposed program has no designated source of funding and would be contingent on funding being secured by July 1st, 2023, according to a report from the Los Angeles City Attorney's Office.
Well, they'll figure that out. They'll raise taxes.
Yeah, of course they will.
Mm-hmm.
Because the proposal's backers had gathered enough signatures to get the measure onto the ballot, the council had three options when it came up Friday: adopt it into law directly, call a special election, or place it on the ballot during the next regularly scheduled election. Under election timing rules, that would be March 5th, 2024, the primary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If approved, the proposal would also require new projects with more than 100 rooms or units to obtain a conditional use permit that would take the market demand for hotel and community impact into consideration. A new license.
Come again?
A new license.
For all new hotels.
If this thing is approved, the proposal would also require new projects, new hotels, with more than 100 rooms or units to obtain a conditional use permit that would take the market demand for hotel and community impacts into consideration.
I don't even know what all that means.
Yeah, it just means that, there's going to be, they have to establish more bureaucrats to determine what the market demand for hotel and community impact is to hotels with more than 100 rooms.
I'm thinking that's how they're denied based on, there's already too many hotels in this area or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Hold on, let me hire a bunch of my friends first.
The proposal would add new affordable housing requirements for most new hotel developments that replace existing housing units, requiring the developments to include a corresponding number of new affordable housing units at the hotel or in the surrounding neighborhood, forcing your business to do stuff your business otherwise wouldn't want to do. Many hotel owners and operators spoke vehemently against the proposal, arguing that it would unfairly burden hotels and hurt their ability to do business.
I just wouldn't open a hotel in Los Angeles.
No.
No way.
I can't think of anything that I would do in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a fact.
And especially business wise. I mean, dear Lord, it is nearly impossible to functionally run any part of the economy in a stifled area like that.
Why don't the people who signed this petition? Because they said there was a petition that a bunch of people signed saying, "Well, we want to mandate hotels do this." If they really wanted to help homeless people, they'd buy one of those hotels, because I'm sure somebody in the hotel business is like, I want out of this place. I mean, all the stupid regulations they got to deal with. Sure, I'll sell it to you. Here you go. See ya. I'm retiring, or I'm going to go open a hotel in Utah or something like that. And you buy your own hotel and turn it into a homeless shelter.
Well, how are they supposed to pay the land taxes then?
Well, maybe they could get the city to waive the taxes since they're so in favor of of helping homeless people. And look, I'm not against helping homeless people. I donate to the local homeless shelter here, and it's a privately run shelter here in Keene, New Hampshire. So let's see them do it themselves.
Yeah. Direct action is always the way, instead of forcing other people to do what you want.
I can't imagine being the maid at one of these hotels and
having
to clean up. I mean, it's bad enough having to clean up after normal customers, I'm sure. But somebody who is, you know, people who are known for just peeing in the streets and doing all kinds of drugs, it's going to be ugly. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. bring up whatever you want. This time next week, there's going to be a major change. We're going to throw the switch on in the middle of the week with the Free Talk Live podcast. We think, and maybe we're wrong about this.
Change?
I don't know, but we're going to try it and we're going to find out. Could be a huge mistake.
Our listeners will let us know.
Could be the right thing to do. I don't know. But we think that our podcast has maybe been kind of held back by the fact that we've been podcasting the full radio show. We do a three-hour radio show every night. We cut out the commercial breaks. We cut out the news breaks. And when you do that from a three-hour radio show, you get about a two-hour-long podcast. So we've got a two-hour-long block of talk content that we put out every single night via our RSS feed podcast. We've been doing that as long as podcasts have existed. And, you know, the fact is, it hasn't really grown that much. So maybe it's because podcast listeners don't want to hear a whole radio show. Maybe.
The human attention span has shrunk, in my opinion.
That's true. And maybe there's...
I disagree.
Maybe there's some things about... Well, and some people are not happy with this decision. But maybe there is something about radio that doesn't really translate that great to a podcast. Podcasts kind of a... You know, people that actually do podcasts just to do a podcast... they don't have to worry about people tuning in all the time. Right? When we're on the radio, there's always somebody getting in their car, putting the key in the ignition, and you know, for the first time hearing our show. And then we got to tell them who we are, we got to tell them where we are, you know, what we're talking about, that kind of thing, constantly throughout the show. Does that really need to be in the podcast? Some would say no, it shouldn't be in the podcast. So we're going to have a more slimmed down version. It's called the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. It's been going on for many years, thanks to Riley Blake, who is has been doing it on a volunteer basis, just because he loves Free Talk Live, and hopefully people have been sending him donations over the years.
I have.
Thank you for that.
And he does great work.
Because a lot of people really appreciate his work. He has been taking a two-hour long per night, seven night a week podcast, and cutting it down to about 30 minutes, yeah, roughly. So we talked to Riley and we said, you know, look, we want to bring you on officially to do this for us. We'd like you to make it longer. How about 45 minutes to an hour, somewhere in that range? And so I think he's hitting 45, 50 minutes at this point. So the digest has been extended. So it's now a longer digest. So it'll focus on more of what we've been discussing. And the idea is we're going to take the full podcast away from the full radio show out of the podcast. So it'll just be digest episodes. It'll be a lot easier for people to consume, hopefully easier to share because it'll be smaller. You're not asking somebody to listen to a full two-hour-long show.
Right, I believe in the industry they call that more digestible.
Hopefully he'll be able to pick out the best parts of the show, which I believe he does. There's always going to be stronger and weaker points. I mean, we would love for every show to be, you know, the best all 2 hours consistently, right. But we all know
that. Yes, we would.
There's ups and downs in any given show. So maybe the podcast that he creates will have more of the ups, and it'll just be a better listening experience. And the idea is that maybe if more people share that and they like that better, maybe more people will listen to it. So, or maybe we'll be completely wrong.
So in terms of the timing, we will F around and find out?
We're going to find out. Yeah. It's a pretty serious thing. I wouldn't call it effing around. I mean, we're making a serious change. Some people aren't going to be happy about it. But the fact is, if you do still want to receive the full radio show, the full experience of everything that you've always heard, that'll still be available through the AMPS program. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's been there for those folks. Commercial-free podcast of the show has been there for years. And that's going to continue. So that's one way you can get it. You can also get it by listening live. We're on live 7 to 10 at night Eastern time every single day. Obviously, that'll continue. We also have a live stream that you can listen to that plays the latest show back 21 hours a day, and then the other three is the live show. So that's there for you. You can tune into that and just kind of needle drop into the show anytime you want. And then, of course, there's the Odyssey channel, which has archives of all of our shows in video format. Obviously, those have the commercial breaks included in them, but you can skip those. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you can go to video.freetalklive.com. So it's not like you won't have ways to get the full radio show.
Related to that, as long as you don't have an iPhone, I think the library app will also work.
Because
what I'm used to doing is, you know, downloading the podcast, and then I'll usually play it at double speed because I'm accustomed to your voices enough that I can pick them up easily.
Out.
Yeah. And that one lets you, takes a little more space, but you still have the ability to download the full episode and then play it back at double speed.
The video even.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that feature was there. It's good to know. So that's happening this coming week. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up about it. I'll be posting about it at freetalklive.com, all the details and the links that you'll need to continue with whatever your preferred listening habits are. And hopefully you'll like the changes. And if you don't like it, well, join the AMPS program. We'd appreciate your support that way. All right, let's go to Jill. She's on the line in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Jill.
Yeah, this new proposal about people not having to pay their debt when they got college loans and making the taxpayers pay it instead. Now, I've heard plenty of outrage over this obvious injustice. I think the only way it could positively... Shall I go turn my radio down?
I can't hear it. You're fine.
Okay. The only way it could possibly have a thin veneer of plausibility is if the ex-students were allowed to take the colleges to court and sue them for criminal fraud for giving them an education and pretending it was going to help them get a job when it doesn't. And that's the only way it would have any plausibility at all.
Yeah, and I mean, the government certainly caused this overpricing of college tuition by doing something that they call guaranteed student loans. And what this does is it says that if the student defaults on the loan, then the government will pay the school, and then the government will, in effect, be the debt collector. And then the real caveat there, of course, is that if you have this type of debt and you fail to pay it, you cannot write that off by filing a bankruptcy. It does not go away. There is no forgiveness of that.
Right.
So even if the rest of your life completely falls apart, you can't get a job, you can't start a business, and you file for bankruptcy where all of your debts are forgiven, all of your debts except for the student loans, because the government is now your master in that respect. So they literally caused this whole thing to happen, and now they're trying to pawn it off on, well, everybody else, without actually addressing the problem.
And they are, I presume they are going to print money in order to pay these rather than just wiping the debts off the books, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you pointed out the only, like, major leg that it has to stand on in terms of, like, okay, well, these students were defrauded about this education.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, Jill, that we don't have a functional court system. Like, I'm not sure how much attention you pay to this particular aspect of government, but our courts are terrible, and especially when it comes to, like, taking to court, like, a fundamental institution of government and training people.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, they're never going to let it come out that it's just common knowledge that our schools are useless.
Well, and Jill, thanks for the call. Thanks for bringing this up here tonight. It's definitely been in the news this week with the whole student loan forgiveness thing. It does make me wonder, has anybody ever sued a college over misrepresenting to students why they should join, why they should spend $100,000 with these institutions? Has that ever happened, or are they protected from being sued, kind of like the vaccine manufacturers are? There's more coming up here. Thanks, Jill. It's Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
There's a concern about the potential for a radiation leak at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, Europe's largest nuclear power plant. Residents near the plant are being given iodine tablets in case there is a radiation exposure. But Leon Zizel, president of the European Nuclear Society, told Canada's Global News that things actually aren't that grim.
All this is kind of a fear-mongering, and both sides need electricity. So that's the reason that the plant is still there and operating, and they will need electricity, hopefully, also in the future.
The plant was knocked offline temporarily on Thursday due to fire damage to a transmission line. Oregon Governor Kate Brown declaring an emergency after a massive fire erupted in the southwestern part of her state. The Rum Creek Fire in Josephine County has reached 4,700 acres, according to her office. Evacuation warnings have been put in place. This is USA Radio News. A New York family is making a request as they mark 1 year since their loved one's death.
Saturday marks 1 year since Gabby Petito's death. The 22-year-old's body was found in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming after she never returned home from a road trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. Her family is asking people around the world to light a candle on the anniversary of her death, with her mother saying, "Let's light up the sky all over the world." From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Hydrologists predict that the Pearl River near Jackson, Mississippi will crest by Tuesday. Emergency officials are telling residents in low-lying areas to prepare for a flood. Jackson Mayor Chukwuma Lumumba has urged residents in flood zones to pack enough belongings to get through several days of evacuation, adding that police officers will increase patrols to protect property. Diplomats from across the globe failed to reach agreement on a UN treaty designed to protect marine life. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live has a way for you to directly support the show. We mentioned it in the last segment. It's called the AMPS program. It's Patreon. You can join it as Cat Cooper has done. Cat is contributing a silver level, which is $5 a month, to AMPS. You can do that like Cat over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can join with your credit card, your debit card, your PayPal account. And we sure do appreciate it. It's a way for you to help advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live and what we do here on the air directly through amps.freetalklive.com. We go back to your phone calls and thoughts. Kane is calling us, listening to WAVH FM Talk down in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Kane.
Hey, man. I'm just calling about some Bitcoin information. I'm kind of started to get into investing in it, and I'm just wondering what kind of safeguards are in place for, let's say you don't have internet access for some, you know, for some reason, let's say the, you know, worst case scenario, they start shutting down, you know, the government starts shutting down internet access for whatever reason. And so how do you still use Bitcoin if that's the case?
There's been a couple of experiments done recently, too, and folks continue to work on these ideas. Bitcoin has been successfully transmitted via radio, recently, like within the past year or so.
Packet radio, ham packet radio.
Yeah. Right. And so that is, you know, one method. Technically, because it's just information, as long as a digital device can communicate with another digital device, it doesn't have to be over the internet. Mm-hmm. Could be through Bluetooth, could be through, you know, some other form of communication between mm-hmm. devices, a local
mesh
Ethernet, a mesh network, mm-hmm. right? As long as two devices, digital devices can communicate with each other, a transaction can still occur. The internet makes it so that all of the miners agree, so it's definitely a key piece, but I think that worrying about the internet not being available for some reason is one of these edge cases, as they call it. The odds of the internet going down, pretty low, but even if it does, you're going to have bigger problems than spending your Bitcoin.
Right.
Yeah, that much is true. Although I would add this in, here on Free Talk Live, we love alternative currencies.
We do.
And so I was actually just listening to the Free State Project's YouTube channel today. They had the Goldback presentation from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Oh, nice.
The,
I gotta go watch
on
that.
Stage presentation. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really excellent. So I think that, yeah, in the event of the worst case scenario, the internet gets shut down. Usually it doesn't last forever, even in the most tyrannical countries, right? They shut it down while a protest is happening or something like that. They bring it back because the government needs the internet too.
Right.
But even in the worst case, as long as the Bitcoin blockchain exists in at least one place out there, it still exists. And, of course, there's thousands of people that have copies of the blockchain. There's thousands of what they call full nodes. So as soon as any kind of internet access comes back, your Bitcoin's right where you left it. It doesn't go away. It doesn't disappear. The data is still there as long as somebody still has a copy of the data. So you don't have to worry about losing your Bitcoin. Just using it would be difficult during that time frame. But that's when alternatives like gold and silver, we love the gold back here. For instance, I think I can speak for all of us when I say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And as far as using it while you're cut off from the greater internet, there are ways of making sort of a side chain. And then once that gets contact with the main chain that's on the internet with the rest of the world, then that settles finally and gets integrated into the blockchain.
Right. I do personally recommend, I'm not a lawyer or an economist, but I do personally recommend storing your cryptocurrency on an offline hardware wallet. It's just my preferred method. You can do it in a number of ways. You don't have to go buy like a USB powered stick with some software. You can actually create what's known as a paper wallet if you just want to store for long term, and then you would store that in like a safe or some sort of a fireproof box, something where you store other tangible valuables. But that's entirely possible to take it completely offline and store it in that way. And to me, that's the most safe place for storage of your crypto.
Now, I want to say that since you started this under the idea of if they shut down the internet, okay, well, here's the thing. You've got to ask yourself, are they going to stop spying on you?
Yeah, probably not.
No,
right.
Probably
not. They're never going to stop spying on you, and if they shut down the internet, they can't spy on you.
Well, they can, just not nearly as efficient.
Right. It is mm-hmm. It is a lot less data and a lot more difficulty if they try and do it that way.
Yeah.
Whereas with the internet, people will spy on themselves for free.
But, have them both. I mean, if you can, have a spendable form of gold or silver like the gold back, which is an incredible product. If you haven't seen it yet, please check that out. They're not a sponsor, but I sure do love them. And having that and having cryptocurrency as well, they're two very complementary things. They both accomplish different things, and they both do a better job in a lot of cases than the other at those different things.
Yeah, as far as using goldbacks just for convenience sake in person is great.
There's nothing like it.
Right.
It's so awesome.
I love it.
As far as like, there just won't be any access to the internet, the grid will be down. Okay, look, if the grid goes down, I think the currency will be bullets.
Hmm.
So, again, like, you have way bigger problems than a lack of access to your Bitcoin if the grid has gone down.
Kane, anything else you want to share?
Man, that's some excellent information. I really appreciate some tutorials on that.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate hearing from you tonight. Thanks for the call. We continue here.
We're going to go to Abel, his brother.
No, we're going to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, this Generation Justice blog has turned out to be a good template for doing some accountability auditing
of our government, one small branch of our government being a state judicial, and one judge in particular in attempting to find things to keep one accountable, keep judges accountable with. There's good information in here, and I'm taking it basically one sentence at a time. So this week we'll move on to this is talking about is generationjustice.org/blog_post John Romero, Judge John. And the title is Judge is What I Do, John is Who I Am, is the title of the blog. And in the section entitled The Calling, says that sitting in a lunchroom of a retail store, which is a, there's a piece of information right there. So at least once in Judge John J. Romero's life, he apparently, although it does not say what he was doing in the lunchroom of a retail store, we're going to give him credit that he probably worked there. So at least once in his life, this judge had a non-government.
Yeah.
Everything else in this man's career from out of college to retirement appears to have been government jobs. As I cited, he was an air traffic controller where he was fired for insubordination. And then he was, I have to retract what I just said. He was a lawyer. He was a family lawyer for, I think it was 18 years. So technically he did not, was not employed by the government, but
disagree.
All of his revenue, being a family court attorney, all of his income came, because the government existed. Because if the courts weren't ordering that people appear in court, they wouldn't be hiring lawyers and wouldn't be spending the, in today's dollars, you know, an average of $100, $150 an hour, and that's discounted rates in order to be represented. So I'm going to count that as a government job.
I would agree.
Private.
Yeah. Is there a section where it says, you know, I am judge? Does it also say I am parasite?
Not in so many words, but it can be.
Right.
It can be implied. It can be implied.
I mean, that is definitely what these people are, and that is
judge
what all.
Judge is my name. Judge is what I do. Parasite is what my nature is.
There you go.
Yeah. That is what all of these government bureaucrats are. They are parasites because if their services were actually valuable, then people would pay for them in an open marketplace.
And we're not just saying that. Like, the evidence bears that out. They are parasites. They literally live off of everybody else.
Thank you for the call tonight, David. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. We've got time for you if you want to jump into the show in the remaining moments. And then coming up, about a half an hour after the radio show ends, 10:30 Eastern Time, you can join the Beard Talk Live on watch.freetalk.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open here. You can join us. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Live Saturday show. Join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have there. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners on our chat server. Go to chat.freetalklive.com. You can interact with a bunch of trolls, too, because we got a lot of those there.
What?
They're a lot of fun.
No.
If you appreciate a good troll, then you'll have a good time with them. Chat.freetalklive.com gives you the instructions on how to get involved. We go to the phones to your calls and thoughts. Let's talk first to Lee, listening in Florida, to WNDB in Daytona Beach. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's on your mind?
First-time listener, great show.
Oh, welcome.
Sitting outside the Speedway up here waiting for the race to start tomorrow morning.
Vroom, vroom.
Wow, you get an early start there.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to run tonight, but it got rain delayed.
What's the race, like a NASCAR thing or something?
Yeah, the Coca-Cola 400.
Gotcha. All right, well, hey, glad you're out there listening. What's on your mind tonight?
You were talking to a gentleman a few minutes ago about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I have been telling people for the longest time that eventually our currency will eventually go digital.
Mm-hmm.
Money will be gone. The paper currency will be gone. As far as his concerns with the internet, as long as you have a key, it's locked, or like you said, stored into a wallet, or it'll go into the cloud, into like a safety deposit box type thing. It's not going away.
Nope.
And one of the reasons why I say that is if you're paying attention to like BlackRock Institution, they just bought one of the biggest cryptocurrency companies in Miami, Florida. And also MasterCard just announced that they are going to have a credit card specifically towards cryptocurrency, so you can make your payments through their credit cards, which is run by their terminals. So,
Yeah, MasterCard has been dabbling in some areas of bridging the crypto divide.
They're going all in on this one.
And if interesting.
You do a little bit more, your Amazons, your Walmarts, your Target, your bigger companies, they have been hiring crypto professionals because everything is going to, you'll be able to pay for everything digital or through crypto.
Well, they haven't called me.
Well, that is, I hope the direction.
I must not be an expert.
I want to say, I hope that that's the direction that things go. But unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, you've got the government goons in the Federal Reserve that are talking about launching what they call a CBDC or a central bank digital currency. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to shove that down Americans' throats. And that is total central control over currency. And you think the government's bad now with inflation. It'll be even worse when they can inflate at the flick of a switch and delete people's accounts whenever they want to.
And there's a big psyop to get people to think that these are all the same thing.
Right.
And CBDC is just another kind of digital currency, which is the same as a blockchain,
currency.
Which is the same as Bitcoin.
But it's not like, the same as Bitcoin.
These are distinct different
It's an obfuscation campaign. Yeah. They are literally muddying the water so that people falsely believe that state-based digital currency, which, by the way, the dollar has been mostly digital for most of my life anyway, at least the past 25 years or whatever, they just change numbers in computers. No actual cash, nobody puts a bunch of cash into a big truck and drives it across the country every time there's a transaction. They just change the numbers in computers, so that makes it digital already. So we have to be careful talking about digital currency versus cryptocurrency, because the crypto part is what's important.
And one of the interesting things about the CBDC compared to the system that we have now is that what they're trying to do with that is to cut out all of the commercial banks, which the banks are not taking well. And they're like there's actually a lot of strife among controllers at this point, because there's, you know, this one group that's basically sort of socialist and highly European centric, and they have a different vision of the future than the commercial banks of America. So they're actually rivals more than they are working together at this point.
Go ahead, Lee.
But the bigger banks are turning towards your smaller banks that have become your what are they calling them? Like SoFi. So you can do everything over the phone, digital, your digital financing, your digital loans, your digital car payments. If you look at other countries like Japan, for example, there's no currency. You get paid directly into your bank account. It goes to your phone. You swipe your phone like you do when you go to Starbucks, and everything comes up on your phone so they can keep track of how much money is coming into your pocket, how much money is going out, and there'll be no more so-called under-the-table money.
Well, right, if they get their way. But the good news is, in the world of cryptocurrency, there are privacy coins that are developed and being developed, I'm sure, that do allow for the government and crypto or and banks and other big corporations to not know anything about what you're doing. So people that are interested in privacy should start by looking into Monero. That's probably the most well-known project, although there are other ones out there. But yeah, we're entering into a scary time and an exciting time when, on one hand, there are so many cool innovations and developments happening in the world of cryptocurrency, and on the other hand, the government is freaking out and lashing out and being as violent as they possibly can, going after companies that are doing crypto, cracking down on the industry. Legislation is being proposed that would regulate and control it more than they ever have. They're putting people in prison cells. They're coming after hosts of this very radio show program. People can learn more over at thecrypto6.com about the FBI raiding our studio last year over cryptocurrency. So they're getting desperate. They know their power is being threatened, because money is power.
And I would say that the reason that the economy is where it's at right now is because they are having to adapt to the existence of cryptocurrency. So, I mean, if they keep printing money the way they have been doing, then so much money will end up flowing into cryptocurrency at this point that it'll hasten adoption more than they can stand. So right now they have the quantitative tightening, and one of the effects of that is that it really tones down how much people want to invest into cryptocurrency.
Lee, thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you.
One more thing before we go. Aren't we, and I'll be real quick and you can explain it, but aren't we as the people, aren't we capable of suing our own governments for shoving our economy and everything down the
No, they run the courts. So you're essentially asking them to rule against themselves, which they almost never do. I mean, you can try it, but you're just going to throw money at lawyers.
Many have tried and many have failed, and it's very rare that somebody actually wins in that type of
thing. The only way out of this is to protect your wealth by, as you're pointing out, you know, get into cryptocurrency, look at precious metals, get your money out of the dollar and put it into something that they don't control. Otherwise, seceding is the only political solution from the United States. So,
turns out every time they investigate themselves, they find that that there was no wrongdoing.
Real quick, your other caller, if he's still listening, if he's a buyer and a trader in the cryptocurrency, he has to keep track of every sale that he makes. His accountant will be pulling his hair out if he's trading every couple of minutes, because you got to have your buy and
sell. Yeah, it's so unrealistic to expect people to do that. I mean, the government is just ridiculous at what it's demanding out of people, and there's no way anybody could keep track of that.
And they have specifically gone out of their way to make sure that they don't tell you what the heck this is or which rules apply to
it. It's very confusing. Thank you for the call, Lee. You know what? I know you want to jump in with something.
I just want to say the good news is that, like, cryptocurrency is just... it's in its infancy. We've only seen the little tiniest bit
they're
of
scared.
What it can do.
Yeah, well, and not so, for long.
Well, right, but like currently there is, for almost every scenario, there is a cryptocurrency workaround to, well, at least the United States dollar. At least, you know, the people that I talk to and the things I see online. So the cryptocurrency itself has the capability to replace banks in their entirety. So instead of just having a currency in your wallet, you have all of the functions of a bank on your phone in your name just for you.
I definitely wanted to hear about the whole Jackson Hole thing. I see nobody walking in the room here tonight. Maybe y'all are going to cover it tonight. I don't know what you guys have planned for Beard Talk Live, but for those of you out there that want to hear more conversation without FCC regulations, without those government rules as far as what we can and can't say, that's coming up a little bit later, about 10:30 Eastern time. You guys are going to kick off another episode of Beard Talk Live. You can go to our Odyssey channel to see it there. It's also going to be on whatever other streaming platforms we're on that I don't even know what we are right now, Twitch, DLive. But the best place to see it probably is watch.freetalklive.com. Watch.freetalklive.com will take you right to the streaming page. Be there at 10:30 Eastern time, and your talk live will take over at that time. We'll see you tomorrow night. Otherwise, on broadcast radio and online anytime, you can join us at freetalklive.com. Have a great weekend.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great, like Extendivite very much, seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars, love this product Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars, can't say enough, great product. Freya, 5 stars, I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.